Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 121 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I want to start out by giving a shout out and a thank you to Joe Rogan. I recorded his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, yesterday. And I have to say, while normally I'm not a fan of long-form rambling podcasts, we had a three-hour conversation that felt like it only lasted 20 minutes. Joe is fantastic. The podcast was great. We covered so many topics from early comedy career to when I first met and hung out with Joe to what's going on in comedy these days, my history as a person, my history in recovery. We talked about everything. So please check out the Joe Rogan Experience, the one that I did, and the ones he's done with other people. I've been trying to do that podcast. We've been trying to schedule that podcast for literally a year, and we finally got to sit down and do it, and it was phenomenal. So again, shout out to Joe Rogan. Listen to and check out the Joe Rogan Experience, and it was great. Well, that's the good news. Now, let me go into episode 121, and once again, I may even have to change the name of my podcast to Nothing Changes If Nothing Changes. By now, we all know there was another school shooting, another mass killing, and as Barack Obama said in his speech, it's become routine. And the shootings become routine, his response has become routine, our response as a society has become routine, and on and on and on. So we have another crazed gunman, a guy named Chris Harper Mercer, who apparently from some posts on a website wanted that notoriety from, you know, that you get being a mass murderer, being a school shooter, being a psychopath. And, you know, he talked about doing it on the website, and then they talked to his family, and his mother had guns and blah, blah. I'm not even going to go into this guy or the history of this guy because it doesn't matter. It's the same story. We've heard this story before over and over. I don't know if you saw or heard Barack Obama's speech, but it was a different tone than is normally taken after these tragedies because he was upset. He was visibly upset. You could hear it in his voice. He was mad, and he said something that, as a politician, politicians would never say. He said that we should politicize this, and he said that thinking of and praying for the victim is not enough. Let me quote him. He said, "This is something we should politicize. This is a political choice that we make to allow this to happen every few months in America. We collectively are answerable to those families who lose their loved ones because of inaction." And he's right. We as a society don't do anything about this. We are the only, am I going to say first world or democratic or advanced or whatever word you want to describe us, we are the only ones who have these shootings every few months. Now, they, of course, it's going to be, oh, it's mental illness. Well, you know something? They have mental illness in Belgium, and they have mental illness in the Netherlands, and they have mental illness in England, and they have mental illness in Australia and Japan, and on and on and on. What they don't have is a school shooting every couple of months. Barack Obama called on the media to look up the numbers, because as you know, terrorism is what's going to kill us all. Got to worry about terrorists. Here come terrorists. And we spend all of this money fighting terrorists. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying we're a little paranoid, and we obviously go overboard on it. You know, it's funny. We can't make guns illegal, but there was a chance of one guy having some sort of explosive liquid on a plane, and we banned water on airplanes so fast, you choked. You literally choked. There was no water lobby against banning water on airplanes. There was no outrage of the Second Amendment gives us the right to drink water when we're on air. There was none of that bullshit. They just said water could be explosive, no bottled water, and that was it. So Barack Obama challenged the media at this press conference to compare the number of deaths by firearms versus deaths by terror in the last 10 years. So let's go. I'm looking at a poll, a number spent from, taken from the year 2004 to 2013. American deaths by terrorism, 313. American deaths by firearms on U.S. soil, 316,545. Deaths by water bottle, zip, zilch, nada. We have to do something about our guns. That it doesn't mean take everyone's gun away. It means there has to be something done. Or maybe not, because some of the presidential candidates gave their opinions. Jeb Bush says, you know, stuff happens. What are you going to do? Can't stop everything. Stuff happens. So that's it. So, you know, if you're going to go to school, just be aware you may get shot on any given day. Why? Because stuff happens, and you can't prevent stuff from happening. Ben Carson, and this is even worse, I think, than stuff happens. Ben Carson criticized Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton for politicizing gun violence, arguing that it's a mental health issue that cannot be solved by taking away firearms. Again, other countries seem to have solved it by taking away firearms, but he said that. But this was the insult, and I think this truly is an insult, and it's armchair quarterbacking at the worst. He says that victims of mass shootings should not be timid during attacks, and if he were facing a raging gunman, I wouldn't just stand there and let him shoot me. What bullshit. What bullshit. Maybe he wouldn't, but how dare you say what you would do in that situation, having never been in that situation, okay? I don't think any of us really know for sure. There's a few people who know what they would do. You know who they are? They're trained, or they're just extraordinarily brave. And I'm going to talk about a man named Chris Mintz, who was one of those guys and who's one of the people who should truly be insulted by what Ben Carson said. But to sit there and say that Ben Carson saying he would this gunman was shooting Christians. He also hated blacks and a bunch of other people. Again, I'm not going to go into his whole manifesto, but Ben Carson says he would just stand there and say, I am a Christian, and he would rush this guy and yell, everybody attack him. He may shoot me, but he can't get us all. Well, you know what, Ben? If he has a fully automatic weapon, yeah, he can get you all. That's what fully automatic weapons are for, Ben, to get you all. Okay, you hold the trigger and it keeps firing bullets till the clip is empty. I'm insulted by this statement. You know, I don't know what I do in a mass shooting. You don't know what you do in a mass shooting. None of us know what we do. Yeah, in a movie, you rush the shooter, because if you're Bruce Willis, there could be 9 shooters and none of their bullets hit you. But this isn't the movies. This is real life. Ben Carson, it should just should apologize, but he won't, because that's what he is. Now, let's talk about real heroes, okay? There was a man named Chris Mintz, and Chris heard the gunfire, and you know what he did? He blocked the door, trying to keep the gunman from coming in. He got shot 3 times, and he looks up at the gunman, and he says, it's my son's birthday, and he got shot again, and he didn't die. Now, Mr. Carson, Dr. Carson, I would submit to you that this man is a hero. It was his son's 6th birthday, the day he got shot, the day he got in front of a gunman and tried to keep a gunman from coming in through the door and shooting more people.
I can believe it. This is the age we live in. I'm sorry I'm shocked or outraged or anything else, because this is normal. This is the kind of bullshit you say as a politician. But Chris Mintz, a real hero, the name we should remember from this shooting. And one more time, the worst in us shows that what still exists in the best in us. What a What a hero. And thank God he lived. Thank God he lived, because the world's a better place with him in it. No doubt about that. Another survivor, Tracy Hugh. She was shot and she played dead. And the shooter didn't shoot her again. And that was, she lived. And I guess, Mr. Bush, Jeb, I guess that's what we should teach. Teach kids when they go to school, young people when they go to school, or old people when they go to school, because the victims range in age from 9 to 67 at this particular community college. Play dead. Yeah, when the shooter comes in, because the shooter's going to come in and you're going to get shot because you're at school and, you know, stuff happens. So you're there, you know you're going to get shot, but now you know when the bullet hits you, play dead, you know, or no, I'm not even going to mention Carson again. What a fucking asshole. Thank God she did it and she stayed and she lived to tell about it. I'm reading this story, and there was a woman who climbed out of her wheelchair, and the gunman apparently told her to get back on the chair, and then he shot her. Oh, by the way, this gunman committed suicide at the end. He wasn't killed by one of the police bullets or whatever they said. He shot himself. I don't even know if that matters in the story, but yeah, it's one more time. And yeah, nothing happens if nothing happens. There'd be a little bit of talk, a little bit of rhetoric. Congress won't do anything because they're afraid of the NRA or they're in the NRA's pocket. There will be no new gun laws. There'll be no laws about background checks. There'll be no laws about the size of ammunition clips that are sold and so on and so forth. And let me be clear about this. I am not anti-gun. I am not saying that guns should be illegal. I am against so-called assault weapons, because they are designed only for killing humans. But even those, if they're regulated, if they're sold to people who know how to use them, people who are responsible, yeah, I know criminals will get guns. But a lot of criminals get their guns because people buy guns and they get stolen from them. Because in the moment, sorry, Ben Carson, I know you're a Ben Rambo Carson, but in the moment when someone pulls a gun on a criminal, if they're not ready to use it, quite often the criminal takes the gun from them, because you got to be ready to shoot somebody. It takes something to shoot somebody. But anyway, the I say that guns should be regulated in the same way cars are. Registered, licensed to use it, licensed to own it. When you sell it, even if you sell it privately, you still have to report it to the government that, you know, who you sold it to. And there should be some liability for owning one, because these things kill people. So that's my opinion, if anyone asks, if anyone cares. No, I'm not anti-gun. Yes, I am anti just sell any gun to anybody. The more clips, the more rounds, the better. And these school shootings mean nothing because stuff happens. You know what, Mr. Bush? I am anti-stuff happens. Speaking of stuff happening and how insane our culture is, in Tennessee, and you've heard me say it before and I'll say it again, so many of these things happen in the South, I can't begin to explain it. But an 8-year-old girl, and you've probably heard about this story, again, you almost can't read this without stopping, but Mikayla Dyer, 8 years old, was shot by an 11-year-old boy because she wouldn't let him see her puppy. Okay, let me say that again. An 8-year-old girl was shot by an 11-year-old boy who used his father's shotgun because she wouldn't let him see a puppy. We have more kids shooting kids, and you know, there'll be no charges against the adults involved. The kid's charged with murder. Who knows what's going to happen there? Apparently, he had bullied this little girl before. But there, it's last year in Iowa, 2-year-old shot his mother, and I think it was in a Walmart parking lot or something like that. And I'm going to change the name of the podcast. Nothing changes if nothing changes, because here it is again. a kid shoots a kid with a gun that's legal, that's just laying around the house, so an 11-year-old could pick up the shotgun and shoot a kid because you didn't show me the puppy, which seems like a, you know, adequate, normal response in any society, right? Yeah, that's where we're at. So what the hell? I don't even know if I'm giving an opinion on this. It's so ridiculous. It's so beyond any logic or reason that you could say. I'm sure there's, listen, I'm absolutely sure there is a right-wing NRA argument to say why this is okay. And maybe if the 8-year-old had a gun, there you go, we need to arm the 8-year-olds in America because the 11-year-olds are coming after them. It's America, damn it. There's no reason an 8-year-old isn't walking around armed. Also, side benefit of arming all 8-year-olds, stop the school shootings. No more elementary school shootings. Let's start arming them at 5. I think it's America. NRA, some bitch. I don't know. You have an answer? You have a solution? Because your solution has to involve not talking. It has to involve the left and the right, the liberal and conservative, the whatever you want to call it, have to not talk. And the solution has to be done without statistics because Congress says it's illegal to collect statistics on these types of shootings. So yet your solution can't involve any actual facts, can't involve any actual numbers of people shot, quote, accidentally. And I say, quote, accidentally, because when kids have guns, it's not an accident. Someone gets shot. It's inevitable. But your solution has to it has to be vetted by the NRA. The NRA has to approve your solution. And somehow your solution has to not involve less guns. So if you got a solution that fits within those parameters, good luck, because I sure don't. Unbelievable. Moving on, I'm going to go to unbelievable in a different direction. Now, years ago, and when I say years ago, this is when I was still blogging. This is before I did a podcast, when I used to write this shit down. I talked about the Texas school books. And for those who aren't aware of the Texas school books and why Texas school books are so important, Texas has the largest number of school children, school districts, whatever you want to call it. For whatever reason, Texas buys more school books than any other state, any other school districts, etc., etc. So school books are sort of written. Texas sort of drives the editing of these school books, drives the writing. You know, so it's very important what Texas says. Now, this came up in the topic of gay marriage when they wanted to put in all the Texas school books. Every time it said the word relationship, they wanted it to say between a man and a woman. So Texas school books are important on a nationwide basis. And a brilliant woman, a beautiful, smart woman, Ronnie Dean Burren of Pearland, Texas, posted a screenshot of her 15-year-old son's new world geography textbook. And this is what it said in the textbook. The Atlantic slave trade between the 1500s and 1800s brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations. You know what that's saying? That's saying that slavery was just an immigration program to help workers get jobs. Unfucking believable. She took the publishers to task. And they say that when they do the next round of textbooks or the digital versions of the textbooks, they'll clean that up. yeah. This is immigrants. See, that's why when you liberals and you blacks and some bitch, whoever else you are, you un-Americans. That's why when you say slavery still matters. See, slavery not only didn't matter, didn't even exist. It was an immigration program to bring workers to the United States because they were unemployed in Africa. And you know what they did, some bitch? Those some bitches came over here, immigrated with no papers whatsoever, no papers at all, and worked for free, which lowered the working wages of the European indentured servants. NASCAR. That's my new thing, by the way. I like to say NASCAR after every crazy Republican statement. I don't know why. Just seems to fit. But anyway, that's literally that. Slavery. A major part of American history, a major part of, like it or not, how this country was built, literally, physically built on slave labor. And you just dismissed it entirely and said these African workers were immigrants. That is amazing. That is amazing. So, McGraw-Hill, the publisher, says, "We became aware of a concern regarding a caption reference to slavery on a map. Program, blah, 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 blah. We conducted a close review of the content and agreed that our language in this caption did not adequately convey," and I'm sorry for laughing, but listen to what it says. "That caption did not adequately convey that Africans were both forced into migration and to labor against their will as slaves." Really? Calling them immigrant workers somehow didn't unbelievable. This woman should be hailed as a hero. You know, here's the thing. Kim Davis is hailed as a hero. You remember Kim Davis, Kim crazy ass Davis, who said that gays shouldn't get married and went to jail for a week and came out screaming she was Rosa Parks. And now we find out was in a reception line to meet the Pope because a cardinal set it up who's going to be fired by the Pope for making the Pope and the Vatican look bad. And Kim came out and said, "Oh, I had a private meeting with the Pope," and he talked, which now we know is bullshit. She was in a reception line. She didn't meet him. They didn't sit down and talk privately. He did not endorse her. He publicly came out and said he does not endorse her. But anyway, Kim Davis is a hero. No, Ronnie Dean Burin is a hero. Ronnie Dean, and you know why? Because somebody called the system to task and said, "Tell the truth." That's why she's a hero. She didn't change anything. She didn't do anything. She called them out and said, "You're liars. Tell the truth." She did something that no reporter's brave enough to do when these political candidates talk or anything else. She called a liar a liar, and they had to come out and tell the truth. So kudos to Ms. Ronnie Dean Burin of Pearland, Texas. You are amazing, and you are a hero. Because trust me, slavery was a lot of things. And no, I wasn't there, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't because of that. But anyway, slavery was a lot of things. But you know what it wasn't? It wasn't an immigration program to bring agricultural workers to the South. Unfucking believable. Well, I'm going to wrap up the podcast with some good news, because there's always some good news every week. I'm going to strive to bring you guys some good news. And here it is. Write this down, people. Mark the date you heard it. Okay. September of 2015. The NFL has just finished a calendar month without any players getting arrested. Yeah. Yeah. Are you a football fan? How big is that? The month of September, for the first time in more than six years, in the month of September, not one football player was arrested. How great is that? No domestic violence, no drunk driving, no drugs, no driving 100 miles an hour with the kids in the back seat, nothing. The NFL behaved for a whole month. Son of a bitch. October? Probably not, but we got September in the books, so congratulations. This is Alonzo Bowden. I'm thanking you for paying attention and listening to my podcast. The weekend of October 15th through 17th, I will be at Comics at the Mohegan Sun Casino. And for the week of October 26th through November 1st, I'll be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. That's right. I'm going to be in Vegas on Halloween. I don't know what I'm going to play. Probably going to go ahead and be a tall comedian for Halloween. I usually pull that one off pretty good. Or I might be a bouncer like I was Friday night on the Dr. Ken show. Watch that show. It's a friend of mine. And again, shout out to Joe Rogan for the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. You guys are great. Thank you.